Our Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and Psalm 66. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse number 1, Psalm 66 verse 16. And I know I've touched on this topic some in recent weeks, but I just felt moved to be a little more pointed on the topic. We live in such a sinful and selfish society that I think many of us do not recognize sin when we see it. Now, I know there's some things that are obvious, but these kind of little things, I think we kind of shrug it off. Just think it's part of natural way of thinking, our natural society. And I don't think we necessarily appreciate the seriousness and the reality of the consequences of a simple, unseen, unknown to others, sin. First Peter chapter 3. I announced what I was going to preach on this morning. And someone said, well, you shouldn't have done that. No, nobody's going to want to come. And I'm thinking about that. It was kind of slim in here when we got started here this evening. I thought, no, nobody's going to, they don't want to come that they got a secret sin or that their marriage is a problem or anything like that. Don't want to admit those things. I guess I should have kept my mouth shut. But anyway, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, when it says likewise, whenever I come to this chapter, I always got to remember to go back for the end of chapter 2, is talking about how Jesus gave himself a sacrifice for others. He put himself last. He did no sin, and no guile was found in his mouth, verse 23 says, but who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Verse 24 of chapter 2 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd, the bishop of our souls. Basically, he said that our world basically attacked Jesus, and yet he dies for us to restore us. And then he says, verse 1, likewise. That means that there's times, ladies, and we're going to get the men here in a second, but there's times, ladies, when you feel like you're almost a sacrifice in your own marriage. Now, he's trying to bring it right down where the rubber meets the road here. He says, I know Jesus gave it all, and he gave himself over it. And be honest with you, there was times when he simply gave up his own self-respect, if you will, to a certain extent, his own rights, his own privileges. He gave up himself. And verse 21 says he's an example who suffered. And then it says, ladies, likewise, oh my soul. What does that mean? That means that there's sometimes, ladies, when you actually feel like you're suffering within a marriage. Now, Lord willing, we should fix that, so that's not the issue. But there are some times you feel like, well, I've got to always be the one that gives in. I'm the one that always has to give up the issues. He says, likewise, ye wives, well, watch this. It says, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, I know we have some ladies in here. And this is not the only thing we're going to talk about tonight, but we have some ladies in here who say, oh, I just wish my husband would love the Lord, and boy, life would be so much nicer if that was the case. But basically, he's saying here, you feel like you're suffering, and you may be. But Jesus did that too. And when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When they yelled at him, he didn't return it. And he said, you might have a husband, ladies, who don't obey the word of God, and that's going to be difficult. Now, if you've got a husband who obeys the word of God, praise the Lord. Maybe he just obeys the word of God some. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, be thankful for what you have. But he says, they will without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. The conversation, there's the word, is lifestyle, the habits of life, your daily routine. Watching, 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 watching. You think nothing's happening, but don't forget the Holy Spirit's working on him, just like he works on you. And sometimes we're not careful, we'll get in the way of the Holy Spirit's work. In fact, if we're not careful, we'll negate what the Holy Spirit's trying to do when we come up and do. Well, I hate to say it. Kind of like the thing that Brother Gaskill was saying. Somebody decided to leave the church because he went someplace. He's a fireman, and the preacher came out and said some things he shouldn't have said. Apparently got kind of hot under the collar or whatever and said, well, that's what a preacher is. I don't want to have anything to do with this. Now, he needs to overlook the fact that we're all men and we're sinful men. But the preacher also needed to be a testimony and missed it. Now, I'm not going to point fingers because I've missed it too from time to time. And ladies, he's saying here, don't miss the opportunity. He said, they may be won without the word, while the conversation, your wives, verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now that's not this, it's not so much fear of him, but it's respect of his position as a husband, but it's also fear of God. Verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on apparel. Now, that doesn't mean, he says, listen, dressing yourself up and being nice for your husband, that's fine and dandy, but that's not going to win him to Christ. Okay? Now, if you say, well, that means I'm not supposed to plait my hair or I'm not supposed to wear gold, then that also means don't put on apparel. I don't think that's what he's saying there. Okay? So, he says, verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. That's what's going to make a difference. When you look him in the eye, in love, in spite of what he just did. Sometimes, Lord, listen, ladies, he may not let on. Watch. Ladies express everything that's in their heart almost all the time. Okay? Guys go into the restroom and usually don't talk. You know, you go in, you do what you got to do, and you leave. Now, if you get ever by the sink, maybe you can do that, but just go. Ladies come out, they've never met each other, come out of the restroom, they've talked about the three last pregnancies, and this has happened, this is going on. It's amazing what ladies will do. And we expect the guy, ladies, you expect the guy just to pour out everything that's in his heart, and he's not going to do that. And you think, well, I've done this, so he should just be rolling over in love with me, and this is going to fix everything, and it might be years, to what you've been doing is going to make a difference. It has to be finally his idea. We shouldn't do this, guys. But, you know, it's almost like, if you keep bringing it up, then it's not his idea. Let the Lord do the work. Plant the seed, go on. Most of all, just listen, it's almost like you win him kill him with pleasure, with kindness. There's the word. But it's the hidden man in the heart. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted God. So this isn't going to work. Trust God. The ones who don't do it this way are the ones who don't trust God. Do what God says and let the Holy Spirit do his work. Let God do his work. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves being in subjection. How did they adorn themselves? How did they make themselves beautiful to their husbands? Being in subjection to their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Don't get scared in what you're trying to do. Now it said there in the end of chapter 2, this is what Jesus did. First verse of chapter 3, it says, likewise ye wives. Look at this verse 7. Likewise ye husbands. Husbands, sometimes you think you're stuck in a mess and you can't get out. Maybe you're stuck in a position. Maybe you think you're suffering for Jesus. Maybe you think your spouse is that cross you have to carry. It shouldn't be, but maybe you think it is. But it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. In other words, listen. Get to know your wife. She is a person. You're not going to understand probably everything the way she thinks. That's because we think differently. One is not wrong and not one is right. We're different. We complete one another. Okay? But dwell with her according to knowledge, watch, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. That's not a dig, ladies. That weaker vessel gives the idea, and I always use this little illustration, like the Ming vase. What do you do with something that's fragile, delicate, and very valuable. You protect it with your life. What Ephesians says, he wanted to give his life for her. And as being heirs, watch, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Let me go back to verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You don't slap around a Ming vase. You don't insult the Ming vase. You don't make light of the Ming vase. You listen, you take care of that lady. You watch over her. But maybe, listen, ladies, maybe you don't have a husband like that. Well, that's what we just talked about. Guys, maybe you don't have a wife like we just said there. Now, listen, I'll tell you what, guys. You love your wife. 99 times out of 100, you're going to win that lady back. You honor her. You take care of her. Then verse 8 says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called that ye should inherit a blessing. You want the blessing. We got to stop acting like a bunch of kids. Ladies, guys need to feel respect even if you don't feel like he's respectable. Gentlemen, you need to love your wife even you think like she's not very loving, very lovable. Let me give you one other verse here. And then we'll have our message. Psalm 66, verse number 16. I didn't have it open. 16 says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for me. Everybody loves God. I want to show you what God can do. Verse 17, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath turned away my, who hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Let's pray. And I'm going to preach on this topic. Caught in the trap of my own unforgiveness. This might be marriage, but it could be any relationship. Caught in the trap of my own unforgiveness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray you'll speak to us. You're so faithful and precious in the way that you do that. I'm certainly not worthy to open your word, but Lord, I thank you that you've called and you make me worthy by your precious blood. May we ask for your Holy Spirit to move, and we ask in Christ's name, amen. Some marriages are to blame for unanswered prayers. I know it sounds crazy, but I think some marriages, we're talking about marriage, but this is not the only relationship, but just one that he uses here. Some marriages are to blame for unanswered prayer. It is possible that we are living without the blessings of God, at least some of them, maybe most of them. We do not know God's will for our lives. We do not have the power of God on us to raise our children and may not be having our needs met, all because we're crossways with our spouse and refuse to make things right with them, at least on our side of the issue. Now, it may be our spouse, but the fact is, it could be a friend. It could have been a long-time friend. It could be a parent. It could be a child. But we can have a relationship that's crossways. And if we don't deal with that relationship properly, I believe that it actually can hinder your prayer. You may be praying for the relationship to get better, but if you don't deal with this, God's not going to hear the prayer to make it better. This is a very tough situation, but it can change. See, this is one of those little things no one knows. There's this little root of bitterness that's down in our heart. It's just been hanging on for a long time. And if you're not willing to let it, listen, it may be somebody you really don't deal with a whole lot. But when that name shows up, don't talk to me about that person. You know what they did to me 25 years ago? We're harboring unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is a sin. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There could be right now somebody's face or somebody's name going through your mind. And you say, well, I've settled that. Why did it come up? It may not be your spouse. It may be a child. But it's not, and it's not what they did to you. Watch me. But our refusal to forgive. It is not what they did, but it's what we refuse to do that makes the problem. I'm going to make several statements and I'm going to draw some conclusions. Number one, you know this, but I'm just going to make it clear. We've already stated it, but you need to put this down as an anchor part of our concepts tonight. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66, 16, look at it with me. You were there. It says, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. What's that mean? That word cry means to accost, to call out to. I called out to God. And it says he was exalted. He was lifted up with my tongue. Listen, the fact is that somebody believes in God enough to actually call out to God for help actually makes the statement to others that God can be trusted. God likes it. Listen, you must come to him. He that comes must believe that he is and reward them who diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God, listen. When someone says, you know what, I pray to the Lord and this is what I got. You actually prayed to God. Yes, I pray to the Lord. You say, well, you can't see him. Can you touch him? Can you smell him? Can you taste him? You can't hear him? I mean, he's there somewhere. You pray to him. Yes, I do, and I trust him. So that shows faith, and that lifts up his name. That's a good thing. God wants to hear your prayers. Listen, he delights in the prayers of his saints. He delights in his prayers of his saints. But the prayer of a wicked is abomination to him. You don't want to do what I want to do. I mean, I asked you to do it, now you're coming asking for favors? See, that doesn't turn them on real well. That doesn't do a thing. So then he says, listen, he says, I cried to the Lord. I had a prayer, and it lifted up him up. That's a good thing. Verse 18, but if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What does that mean? Sin breaks the communication with God. Sin breaks, it is our sin, our trespass that has separated us from our God. Verse 19, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayers. And I cried out. Now, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he's not going to hear me. But he did hear me. You know what that means? I'm right with him. If the Lord's not hearing you, could it be you're not right with him? What an indictment. I don't know. God never hears my prayers. I wouldn't say that out loud. It could be you just announced your testimony to everybody. He said, he hath heard me. Blessed be God which hath not turned away my prayer, watch, nor his mercy from me. I'm not saying we're perfect. You can't be perfect to get your prayers, but I tell you what, we can make use of his mercy. We can come and confess our sins before him. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, only because of his mercy. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. It's mercy. He heard me. I've come to him, ask for mercy. When I sin, if I seek God's mercy, God will forgive my sin and hear my prayer. Well, I confess that. Is there another one? What else have you pushed back? You see, we think if you haven't remembered, you can't remember the sin, God doesn't. Maybe we need to spend some time. I think about this on Sunday morning. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. There may be some times we actually need to get really serious with God and say, Lord, what is it? What is the sin between you and me? It could be as simple as unforgiveness in our heart towards somebody we say we love. So number one, if I regard iniquity in my heart, my Lord won't hear me. Number two, the opposite of unforgiveness is mercy. The opposite of unforgiveness, I'm not sure that's even a word, but I've made it one. Unforgiveness is mercy. Listen, mercy is the opposite of refusing to forgive. See, the Lord decided to forgive us, but he forgives us because of his mercy, not because of our merit. We have messed up. We don't deserve it, and we cannot do a bunch of other things to smooth it over. The sin has happened. History is gone. It's there. We do not deserve his forgiveness, but in his mercy, he forgives us. Mercy is the opposite of unforgiveness. Mercy is not holding someone's infraction against them, but simply accepting the loss and moving on. Do you know what they did? Yeah, it is. You can't change it. No, I can't. It's going to be there for the rest of your life. I know. What are you going to do? I got to move on. Otherwise, I live there. The real expression of godliness is forgiveness. Let me tell you what I mean here. The real expression of godliness is forgiveness. Anybody can love somebody that's lovable. But God so loved the world. God commendeth his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love is shown because he loves us as sinners. He loves us as the mess that we are. That love is expressed in mercy toward us. Not that we deserve it. But he decided to love. And an expression of who we are should be we decide to love. Listen, if someone does you wrong, don't harbor that hurt. All it does is chain your heart and hold back the blessings of God. I can't tell you how many people over the years, please, because I'm not perfect, some you all know that. But I can't, it's amazing how many times when I've gone to somebody that they know that they've kind of jabbed me, or they did some things they shouldn't have done, or whatever it is, they talk behind my back and they know that I know it. Whatever, I don't know what it might be. And I've put that aside. I shouldn't say aside. I've left it go. It's gone. And I talked to them. They said, I can't believe you're talking to me. Well, I can't believe you came. I can't believe you did this. I can't believe you did this. Why? Jesus comes. He reaches out all the time. I'm just saying, you know, if nothing else, it's selfish. I don't want to stop the blessings. I'm not going to let something that somebody did to me harbor in my heart till I'm bitter against something and stop the blessings of God. I hate to say it. It's not worth it. Makes a whole lot more. Now, I'm not saying put on. I mean love. Forget about it. Matthew 9:10 says this. Matthew 9:10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Here's what I'm saying. We can do all the things that look ritual, that looks like what, you know, good Christians are supposed to do. We can go through all the motions. But that when their sacrifice really means kind of the religious movement, the religious rituals, the motions, the thing you do. That's really what it's talking about there. He says, well, I'll tell you what I want. You want to see true religion? I want to see you show mercy. And you know who the hardest person to show mercy to? The one that we're closest to. Often it's the spouse or a friend, a confidant. In the Psalms, David says, man, he said, I walked to the house of the Lord with this guy. He'd stab me in the back. If it wasn't somebody I didn't know, it wouldn't be so bad. But this is somebody that was important to me, somebody that I trusted, somebody that I've poured out my heart to that stabbed me in the back. The expression of obedience to God includes forgiveness. See, I can't say I'm obeying God if I'm not willing to forgive. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay the tithe of mint and anise and cummin and have omitted the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides which strain in a gnat and swallow a camel. What's he saying? Okay, you obeyed. You gave your tithe. That's good. That's wonderful. But the fact is, what about mercy? I'm not talking about compromise. See, our world has trained us that if you love somebody, then you throw out whatever they did wrong and still is not wrong anymore. No. It was wrong. It might have been bad wrong. But you love them. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Second statement, the opposite of forgiveness is mercy. I've said, mercy is the opposite of refusing to forgive. Expression of godliness is forgiveness. Expression of obedience to God includes forgiveness. And the real expression of obedience to God includes mercy, which is expressed in forgiveness. The real expression... Micah 6:6 says this, wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed me thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Mercy is the opposite of unforgiveness. Mercy is one of the three things that he says God demands in our life. If you harbor unforgiveness, we're not expressing mercy, and we are regarding iniquity in our heart. Number three. The end result of unforgiveness is bitterness. The end result of unforgiveness is bitterness. Colossians 3:18, it says this, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Then it says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That word bitter means angry, sharp with your words and your actions. Bitter toward the wife as opposed to sweet. Hebrews 12:14 says this, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person or Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Remember, Esau got bitter against Jacob. We can do, when we're bitter, we do some very stupid things. We make some very bad decisions when we refuse to forgive and we become bitter. We dig a hole and it gets worse and it's worse. So the opposite of forgiveness is mercy. The end result of unforgiveness is bitterness. Number four, we are forgiven as we forgive others. We've heard that. But that doesn't, that's not like God saying, okay, you're playing nice, so I'll let you. You see, if I refuse to forgive, I'm harboring a sin. The sin is not going to be forgiven and cleansed until I confess the sin as sin. Luke 6:37 says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. To not forgive is to come short of the glory of God. He shows mercy. It's who He is. So to not to forgive is to come short of the glory of God. To come short of the glory of God is sin. To refuse to forgive is to forgive. I'm sorry, to refuse to forgive is to give up on a known sin. To live in that known sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Matthew 6:12 says this, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And if our trespasses are not forgiven, sin is still between us and the Holy One. We're not going to get our prayers answered. You see what I'm saying? But you say, well, but I deserve to feel this hurt. Well, I need to harbor this little unforgiveness. You know what? I'm not going to, you know what? The person's already gotten away with it, but we think as long as it hurts in us, they haven't forgotten, they haven't gotten away with it yet. The only one that's stuck and chained is us in our unforgiveness. You follow what I'm saying here? Number five. If I get right with that person that I harbored unforgiveness for, the unforgiveness is gone, the sin is gone, and my line is right with them. Now, the way I wrote it here was kind of in this context. Stay right with my spouse so my prayers are not hindered. In our passage in 1 Peter 3, we read there, talking about husband, be not bitter against your wives. Bitterness is present Bitterness is present when forgiveness is not. Bitterness is present when forgiveness is not. He says there in 1 Peter 3, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Colossians 3:18, I read it. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband as it fit in the Lord. Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Bitter, sharp-tongued, not sweet. So if I want to keep my path open between the communication between God and right, I need to get things right this way. You see, this can affect this. But the fact is, if I get this right, that also helps affect this. We think as long as everybody thinks I'm a good person, then God thinks I'm a good person. He knows our heart. I got a question for you now. And I'm going to ask this as if you're asking this. Have I truly forgiven? Now, I've talked about that. If I forgive, He'll forgive. We're clean slate. I'm not regarding iniquity in my heart. Now, here's the thing. Often we'll say, well, I'm good. It's all right. I'm okay. I'm real good. Now, here's the question. Have I truly forgiven? Now, some claim they have forgiven. What they mean is they haven't brought it up recently. What they say, maybe, is that they're not currently angry about it. But when you are hurt again, do you bring up the past infraction? Now, you've heard the old joke, and I hate to say it, we laugh about it, but it's true. Husband and wife went to a marriage counselor, and he said, "Mom, when we have a fight, she gets historical." You mean hysterical? No, historical. She brings up everything I've ever done wrong in the rest of my life. You know what we've done? We've kind of had this little root of bitterness, and then we've added another one to it. And then we added another to it. And we say, well, this is just the straw that broke the camel's back. Why are there any straws in there? If I have truly forgiven someone, then their infraction against me, watch me, no longer exists. Now, wait a minute. That means I've accepted the hurt. I've accepted the loss. Maybe I've accepted embarrassment. What's more important to you, that person or what everybody else thinks about you? What's more important to you, that person or your comfort? What's more important, that person or your inconvenience? I mean, I've heard of people who basically split up because she scratched the car. Well, you know what else she did? Well, what you're telling me, though, is that car is worth more to you than her. And what's even worse, you get rid of her, you haven't got rid of the unforgiveness. It's still hanging around. Some people think, well, I'll forgive as soon as they get what they have coming to them. That's not forgiveness. It's not, pardon there was multiplied to me. The pardon says, it's done. It's gone. It's wiped off the slate. That infraction can no longer be held against them. So in other words, we need to treat them, relate to them as we would anyone else who had never hurt them. Now, and we say this just as a qualification. If you loan somebody, and this is not wise to do, but you loan somebody some money and they never pay it, and you decide I'm going to forgive it, that doesn't mean they come back and you give them more money. That's not what I'm saying. But you cannot harbor that unforgiveness until the money shows up. It may never show up. You may have to accept the loss. In fact, we shouldn't be loaning out a whole lot of money. If you're trying to loan out money to folks, especially friends or whatever it is, pretend it, but you might as well give it, figuring it will never come back. And then you're not disappointed, and if it does come back, hey, a little cream on the top. Didn't think I'd ever see this again. There it is. Matthew 5:43 says this. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, watch me, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. And this is in Matthew 5:43, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Let me back up and do it now one more time. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. You know what that means? Speak well of them and kindly to those that do not appreciate you, do not want you to do well, that actually wish your doom. Do good to them. Do well, be honest, kind, useful, beneficial. Do good to them that hate you, that detest you, that make light of you, disesteem you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Go to God and request good things on their behalf to those that insult you and slander you and speak evil of you and persecute you, those that not only disrespect you when you're around, but pursue after you to seek to make your life a miserable mess and even take your life if they can. That's what it means. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. That is how we know you have been born of God and that you are God's child. We behave as God's children, and God is plenteous in mercy. He is faithful and just to forgive. He died for our sins, whether we ever confess our sins and get saved or not. He already died for all of them. He forgave us on his side, even if we never come and receive the forgiveness. Well, I'll forgive them as soon as they come crawling on both knees, you know, and grovel at my feet. Then I'll forgive them. Jesus absorbed the loss. If you're waiting for them to come back and ask forgiveness, you may never have forgiveness. And in the meantime, your relationship with him is messed up. I'm not going to let anybody do that to me. I'm going to forgive them. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them, this is what it says, if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Though not even the publicans the same. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans so. Be ye therefore perfect or mature. Behave as a grown-up, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. This is where our faith has come to maturity. The mark of the bond of perfectness is love. The mark of maturity is you love that person more than you hate what they did to you. See what I'm saying? And if we don't, we are harboring a sin and the Lord will not hear me. We're trying to pray for our marriage or pray for this relationship and pray for that because we want it to be better for us. We know what we're supposed to be doing? Praying for that person. Love that person. Care for that person. That's what Christ did on the cross. But we harbor these little bitterness, we harbor the unforgiveness, and what we do is just chain ourselves in our own little prison. Are you like Jesus, or are you coming short of the glory of God? If you're coming short of the glory of God, then we're a sinner. We're all sinners, but there's a sin there. As a sinner, you cannot even come into God's presence yourself. So why are you worried about someone's infringement against you when we are infringing against God? What we need is forgiveness from God according to his mercy. How do I know I have forgiven and cleaned before God so he will hear me? How do I know? Watch this. Do I bless the person that cursed me? Well, I'll bless this person. I like that guy. He's never done it. He never did anything. But yeah. But will you bless the person who cursed you? That's forgiveness. Do I pray for those that have despitefully used me and persecuted me? Now we'll know whether we've forgiven or not. Now we know whether our sins are clean. Now we know whether he's going to hear us or not. Do I pray for those? If I cannot bless them that have cursed me, then I have not forgiven them. Don't you talk to me about that person. I don't want to hear it. Now, I marked that person off a long time ago. I'm good everywhere else, but there. If I cannot pray for those that have despitefully used me and persecuted me, then I have not forgiven them. If I have not forgiven them, I'm still regarding iniquity in my heart. The Lord is still not hearing me. But they do not deserve my forgiveness. Of course they don't. They don't, of course, but we don't deserve God's forgiveness either. Titus 3:1 says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. How do you save that relationship? Mercy. Mercy. If it's mercy, we don't deserve it, or we wouldn't need mercy. Of course they do not deserve our forgiveness. That is why it takes mercy. Mercy is a godly attribute to those that have matured in the Lord. If they deserved our mercy, they wouldn't need our mercy. If they deserved our mercy, they wouldn't need our mercy. Now some of us are caught in a trap of our own unforgiveness. We're miserable, possibly bitter, refusing to forgive and harboring and regarding the sin of unforgiveness in our hearts, and the Lord is not hearing us. We wonder why our spiritual lives are deteriorating or not making any progress. We think we're so spiritual, but what we are really self-righteous. And so we refuse to let go of the satisfaction we think we will have holding someone's sin against them. Let me say that again. We refuse to let go of the satisfaction that we think we're going to have holding someone's sin against them. The fact is, though, in reality, we are the ones caught in the chains that are in our own unforgiveness. And the fact is, we never do feel good about it. Sometimes you just need to let some things go. Let it go. Can't do anything about it. Gone. In India, there are a lot of monkeys. Maybe you've heard this illustration. A lot of monkeys. And when the locals want to catch one, they take a bottle and anchor it down to the ground. And the neck of the bottle is just large enough for a monkey's hand to fit through it. Then they put a small banana in the bottle, and they sit back and wait. A little while, the monkey comes along and sees a banana in the bottle. He puts his hand down in the bottle and grabs it. But then the monkey discovers that he can't get his hand out of the bottle while he's holding on to the banana. The monkey could let go of the banana and run. And probably some do. But the fact is, it works very well. Because the monkeys will hang on to the banana because they don't want to let go. And they hold on until they're caught. I'm not interested in eating bananas for lunch, but they do. Monkeys. Yeah, bananas, yeah, okay. Monkeys. But they're unwilling to let go, and they'll hang on to that thing and lose their own life. There are people who are going to lose the blessings of God. Maybe that's not you now. You remember this message when the time comes, because it will come. I have to forgive and go on because I'm the one that loses. Chained and trapped in my own unforgiveness. Father, thank you. Speaking to us here again this evening. I don't know why I was supposed to preach this message this evening. I don't know what it is, where it all is, but you do. That little bit of satisfaction of proving that we're right is not going to be worth it. Proving that somebody else was wrong is not going to be worth it. In the meantime, we lose your blessing. Now, I don't know where our hearts are. Maybe we just need to make a decision that when the time rises, we're not going to let that happen. Learn from that. Lord, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed.